Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's Rock underscore and underscore Rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/Rock and Rally Tennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 95 is brought to you by CareerWonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at CareerWonder.com. Welcome to another segment of Match Points, where we answer questions from our listeners. This is Match Points segment number 9. If you'd like to send us a question, you can email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or email us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis or tweet us at rockandrally. That's Rock underscore and underscore Rally. Luke from Dallas, Texas writes, I'm 37 years old and have played tennis on and off over the years. I'm now at the point in my life where I feel I have the necessary time and resources to finally dedicate myself to improving my game. I've started the process of finding a suitable instructor. Do you have some suggestions on what I should do or ask? Hey, Luke, thanks for your question. You know, finding a tennis pro that is right for you does require some effort on your part. First and foremost, you have to be very proactive about doing your research on the teaching pro. And in addition, as I've talked about in previous podcasts pertaining to game improvement, you have to be honest with yourself as it relates to the current state of your game, what your realistic goals are, and how committed you are to putting in the time and effort necessary to make those game improvements a reality. Now, there are many find a tennis pro type services available out there, from your local park or club to a variety of online options and mobile apps. What I always recommend as a good starting point is to ask your friends and other tennis folks for referrals and feedback and then go from there. You know, the qualifications and experience of a teaching pro are, of course, very important. An equally important consideration, though, is your chemistry and interaction with the instructor. This encompasses everything from the way the instructor presents and delivers information to you to his or her ability to make adjustments to your personality, learning style, and level of athleticism, to name a few. Now, this goes back to the earlier point about being proactive when researching prospective instructors. You've got to do your due diligence. Ask around. Don't make any hasty decisions like randomly picking an instructor online or just taking a friend's word for it without at least speaking with the instructor and perhaps even requesting to observe a portion of a live lesson just so you can get a better idea of the instructor. From the instructor's domain expertise to communication style, patience, creativity, and so on. Remember, you are the one who is going to be the paying client. So make sure you take the time to go through the checklist of things that are important to you. Kelly from Albany, New York wants to know, how do I increase my shot tolerance? Hey, Kelly, thanks for your question. Shot or rally tolerance really comes down to two main components, and you need them both. Number one is the mindset to stay in a rally or point for as long as it's necessary. And number two, the physical conditioning to meet the demands of those rallies. Again, to reiterate, you need both components. You can have a strong mental makeup and be determined to hit however many strokes are necessary to compete and win a point. However, strong mental fortitude cannot make up for a lack of ability to meet the physical demands of long or extended rallies over the duration of a match. And the same holds true going the other way. You may possess impressive athletic and physical attributes, but if you do not have the mindset to grind out points when you have to, you likely will not have great rally tolerance. So with that in mind, there are many drills that can help improve shot tolerance. One of the drills I like to do, particularly with beginner and intermediate level players, is a drill I also employ when teaching players how to play against the pusher. Now, I discussed this in detail in podcast episode number 41. In this drill, I play up to 11, 15, or 21 points versus the player I am training. A point is started with a ground stroke, not a serve, and becomes live on the third stroke of the rally. As the one doing the training, I simply push the ball back into play and play defense. Now, this drill is very effective for building shot tolerance because it's fairly common in this drill for rallies to last 20 strokes or longer. You know, these Long rallies help improve your mental and physical toughness. You have to hit a lot of balls and look to capitalize on any opportunities you can create. It promotes patience and really challenges you to remain focused and disciplined in your decision making. Talk to your local pro or a good tennis friend about helping you with a drill like this and start working on increasing your shot tolerance. Lily from Murrieta, California writes, "For most of the 20 years I've been playing tennis, I've always played from the baseline. Even in doubles, I spend most of my time on baseline patrol with my partner hovering at the net. I get nervous when I am drawn to net by my opponents. I have no grand delusions about volleying like Roger Federer, but at the very least, I would like to be able to overcome my fear of the net and put away a volley once in a while. Any tips or thoughts on how I can work on this will be greatly appreciated." Hey, Lily, thanks for your question. Now, there are many progression drills for learning and improving the volley. But in my view, the most essential and basic first step is overcoming a fear of the ball. You know, many players at all levels are not comfortable at net, more so out of a fear of the ball than a lack of confidence in their volley technique. Of course, one issue feeds off the other. And a fear of the ball is understandable. When volleying, you are positioned at the net and are trying to pick off, at close range, a ball directly out of the air that may be traveling at high speed. That can be intimidating for anyone. Now, when I teach the volley to a player, what I focus on in the early going is simply to get them accustomed to playing from that part of the court. In fact, I typically have a player start out standing very close to the net, usually one racket length from the net, have them hold the racket by the throat for easy control, and then I'll softly feed balls from my side of the service line, and I'll just have them block the ball back to me. And we'll simply rally and keep the ball in play, and we'll do this until the player is comfortable playing from that court position, at which point we move on to the next stage of the volley progression and so on. Now, the primary goal of this drill is to reduce and ultimately eliminate any fear or anxiety a player may have of the ball when they are at net. My belief is it doesn't really matter what your volley technique is like if you are afraid of the ball. You've got to first overcome your fear of the ball when you are at the net. Once you get comfortable returning balls from that part of the court, it will enable you to be more productive when working on your volley technique. But again, first things first. So as the saying goes, learn to crawl before you walk, walk before you run, and run before you fly. Folks, thanks for your questions and keep them coming. I look forward to addressing more of your questions in future Matchpoint segments. As a reminder, if you'd like to send us a question, email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or email us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis or tweet us at rockandrally. That's rock_and_rally. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.